says, those who wait for the Lord will sow and reap. And so I'll go ahead and look at the text again. Isaiah 40 in verse 28, where it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So as we think about this in relationship to our sowing and reaping, we need to understand that God doesn't grow tired and weary. And I think we could all be thankful that God didn't grow tired and weary with us. Maybe when we were taking a while to become a Christian and hadn't found the truth, he waited for us. And he does that for everyone. He's patient, extremely patient. And so sometimes in sowing and reaping, in relationship to sowing and reaping in regards to soul winning, we can get tired and weary. Because sometimes it can seem like nobody wants to listen. Let's go over also to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Now this scripture you don't really think of a lot of times in regards to soul winning or souls and things like this, but it is an excellent passage for us to consider in regards to our spiritual lives. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And verse 9 is really key. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We can't give up in Christianity, and we can't give up in trying to win souls to Christ. I think in a lot of ways, when you give up on trying to win somebody to Christ, you're giving up in your Christianity. Because when you first became a Christian, if you didn't want other people to know what you had, maybe you never became a Christian. Because when you get truly converted, you get your sins washed away, you want other people to know about it. But as you go, it's easy to sometimes quit wanting people to know about it because you feel like, well, I talked to all my friends and my neighbors and my relatives. They never wanted to listen, so there's nobody else that wants to listen. But there's a lot of people out here still, and we need to realize that we've got to sow to please the Spirit. And what does the Spirit want us to do? Well, in Revelation 22 and verse 17, we can see what the Spirit wants us to do in regards to trying to get people to come in. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. So the Spirit and the bride, which is the church, say, come. And so every Christian who has a Spirit in him is going to be wanting people to come and take the free gift of the water of life. And so we sow to please the Spirit. We're going to be sowing seeds in people's hearts, trying to get them to want to hear more about the gospel. And we're going to try to do our part to plant the seed and let God provide the increase after somebody else maybe waters it. But we need to do that. We've got to be sowing and reaping. And if we don't do any sowing, we won't do any reaping. We will not have people want to serve God if we don't tell them about Christ. Very rarely do you have somebody just want to come and become a Christian that just comes to the office of the preacher's door, knocks on it, and says, hey, I want to become a Christian. I want to know how many preachers have had somebody call them up and ask them that question. I never have. But you have plenty of people wanting other stuff, but they don't necessarily want to become a Christian. But sometimes you will have somebody call you up after somebody's planted a seed in their heart. Maybe somebody told them about the church, and now they are a little bit interested because somebody talked to them. And so we've got to do that. We need to realize that sowing and reaping takes time and effort. Some years you might really have a great year, and other years might be a little dry. Even like sowing and planting corn or any other crop. Just like this year. It's not going too good for a lot of farmers. But would you like it if all those farmers gave up next year? Tell you what, if all the farmers in this country gave up on farming because they had a bad year, eventually we would run out of food. We'd have to hope, you know, we could ship it in from China. You know, hopefully they don't give up over there. Because you and I, we don't realize that these farmers, it takes time and effort to get the crop. And they have to plant the seed. They have to water it sometimes. And, of course, they have to have God help them even with the water. But God does provide the increase. And yet they have to do the labor of bringing it in. It doesn't just pop into their bins on its own. Somebody has to work at it. And you and I as Christians need to realize Christians don't just pop up on their own. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, you might have a few rare cases where somebody's, you know, reading the Bible on their own and they figure it out. But even then, probably they're going to turn to a false teacher and get steered the wrong direction. Hopefully not. Hopefully they would find a truly converted person that can help them to know the right plan of salvation, know how to become a Christian. But we realize that God's given us that job and that opportunity to try to help bring people in. And so we've got to quit giving up. We have to wait for the Lord. We have to trust Him that He will provide the increase. And He will help us. But we've got to do our job. It will not happen by wanting a shortcut, by wanting less labor, and thinking it's too much work. You know, we've got so many souls out here. How are we going to reach them? Well, we better not start pounding on their doors because that's just too much work. I say we better start pounding on their doors. One by one. Start trying to get into their lives. Instead of just thinking, well, I don't know what to do. Do something. Instead of just saying, well, nothing works. Of course nothing works if you do nothing. That doesn't make sense. If you do nothing, you will never get something from it. You have to do something to get something. And sometimes when you do something, you might not get anything. But at least you're trying. And eventually, you will. And if you don't, at least you'll be ready when God comes back. When Jesus comes back, you'll be ready for Him. Why will we sow and reap? Well, one reason is because the value of the soul. The value of the soul. Who values the soul? Well, one person that does for sure is Jesus. Jesus values the soul. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse number 12. 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointed me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus, Christ Jesus, came to save sinners, didn't he? He values people even though they're sinners. He wants people, even though they crucified him, and you and I crucified him, he was willing that he would be patient with us, and he was patient with Paul, who was a person that had done some very bad things toward the church. He was trying to get rid of Christians. But then he got converted, and he started wanting to sow and reap. He started valuing people's souls because Jesus valued his soul. And so you and I, we need to value souls like Jesus. Jesus definitely does. Let's also look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and starting in verse 36. Matthew 9 and verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus had compassion for people. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And he saw them as people harassed and helpless. When we see people, do we see them as who they really are? That they are really people that are going somewhere. And, I mean, more often than not, of course, these people are headed for hell unless you just somehow are bumping into somebody that's not coming to church yet that just became a Christian. But more often than not, these people are lost and dying and headed for hell. They are harassed and helpless. They need somebody to have compassion on them. You and I, you know, sometimes we kind of wonder, okay, is the harvest is plentiful? Well, obviously, I think most of us can see that it's not as plentiful as it used to be back in the days. It's not as plentiful, but that doesn't mean souls aren't still valuable. Souls are still valuable, even if maybe over time people's hearts get hardened, harder and harder, and maybe they don't want to listen. They're still valuable, and until Jesus comes back, we have the obligation to talk to them. Because we don't know unless we just all of a sudden decide, hey, we know more than God does. That person doesn't want to listen. I can tell. I can look at them and see, boy, they're just too bad for God. They won't ever listen. No. We need to start looking at them and having some compassion and realizing, hey, I've got to have some concern for them. And when people start getting some concern, guess what's going to happen? The workers aren't going to be so few. Maybe some people think, well, if the harvest was really plentiful, we would need more workers. But I think even as the harvest maybe has diminished in our days lately, I don't think there's been a boom of workers. I don't think it's been an explosion of Christians are just, man, they're just out here all the time talking to people, and it's just amazing how much work's getting done. I think sometimes maybe as the world gets harder, sometimes Christians can get harder to their soul. We can start to get to where we're kind of getting calloused to, well, we feel like, well, I talked to 50 people this week. That 51st person's not going to listen. That 51st person might. Even if we went 100 calls a day. I've heard of a Baptist guy, when he first came into a town, he went every day calling, and he was doing 100 calls a day. You know what? Something happened. You and I, we think, you know, sometimes, even myself, sometimes I can think, well, I've talked to quite a few people, and that probably not anybody else is going to listen right now. But I've got to say, you know what? That next person might. And it is similar to fishing. When you go fishing, you might think, well, every time I go fishing, I better be bringing in 20 fish every time. I love that, too, when I'm fishing. I love it whenever I'm out fishing, Every time I cast, I get a bite, and I can set the hook, and I reel in a fish. But you know what? It doesn't happen. I mean, on this one river in particular, I don't know if I should give away my secret spot, but it's pretty good. And I do like to go back there, but that even getting to that river takes some work. The fish don't just flop onto my pole at home in bed. You know, I can just sit there and reel them in while I'm sleeping. Boy, this is wonderful. Maybe in a dream. Sometimes I might not feel like getting up and going at 4 in the morning or wherever to go fishing. But you know what? I want to because I want to try to catch a fish. What about the souls of men? How much more valuable are they than fish? A lot more valuable. And you know what? It's still exciting to be out there talking to people because you're telling them about something that's so wonderful that can help them for throughout eternity. That you want to try to talk to the next person where the last person just slammed the door in your face. Because you think maybe that next person might listen. You know what? Even if they don't. Even if you went all day and every door was slammed in your face, shouldn't you still want to go to the next door because you value their soul? Would Jesus value their soul? He does. He did. He died for all of us. And so let's be sure that we are not dying in our value of the soul. So Christians, we can't have ourselves thinking there can be less and less people talking to the lost and more will happen. We need to start thinking, what am I doing? Not what is my neighbor doing in the Lord or the preacher, what's he doing? No, I don't know. What am I doing? How many people am I talking to? How many people am I trying to study with? Am I going with the preacher to learn how to conduct Bible studies? So that way maybe the preacher can be conducting Bible studies while I'm conducting Bible studies and we can have more people out there talking to people. And if you get more people being talked to and more people being taught, you're going to have more opportunities for people to be one to the Lord. And we want to see as many people be brought to Christ as possible. Because Jesus died for every lost soul. And Jesus, he came to call. Who did he come to call? Look at Matthew 9, starting in verse. Actually, you know what? I did the wrong verse, I think. Oh, no, that's right. Okay, Matthew 9, starting in verse number 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So we might try to, we might even think that, I want to go to the nice neighborhood. Or will the people be nice? Actually, I found that most of the time the nicer neighborhoods really nice. They don't usually want much of the gospel. Unfortunately, they're really down too. Sometimes they don't either. But they need so much. The person that's, just lost in sin and reaping the results of their sin for years. You think about all the things they're involved in and how pitiful their life is, and you want to try to help them. Because actually, becoming a Christian, serving the Lord helps people, if they're people that are, of course, if they're in drugs and things like this, they're wasting all their money, and so they can just be poor as can be, and having a horrible life, and you know that, their marriages are, if they're together still, their marriages are horrible. And so you think, you know what? Jesus wants them to be taught so they can have a better life. And also, of course, eternal life. But who else values the soul or who does? Well, the early church did. The early church valued souls. Look at Acts 8 and verse 4. Acts 8 and verse 4. Says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now, these people, I think most of us know this, they had been persecuted. You know, they weren't being scattered just because they didn't like where they were living. No, they were scattered by persecution. And as they were scattered, they went out and they still talked to people. That's amazing. That they would be willing to do that. They'd want to. And that's kind of the thing is, when you're facing opposition to your efforts and you keep doing it, that's kind of helping you to know you're doing it for the right reason. That you want to help them. And so these people, they did. They really wanted others to hear. So they preached the word wherever they went. In Acts 5, in verse 42, it says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Do we wonder why the early church grew? You don't have to wonder why the early church grew. They were doing something. Day after day, they were out there. And that was the apostles there. But the early church, they were involved in it. And of course, the apostles were a part of the early church. Let's also look at Acts 11 in verse 19. Acts 11 and verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So God's hand was with them when they were wanting to go out and tell people the good news. And so the early church, they valued the soul. Who values the soul? Well, you and I must. You and I must value the soul. And we have orders from Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We must make disciples. We've got to get out there. Is Jesus going to come down and share his word with others? I mean, is that what people think whenever they read 1 Corinthians there, where it talks about the Lord provides the increase? That, well, that means just wait. Well, as we wait, we're to be working as we wait for God. We have to be working because Jesus isn't coming down. The early church isn't going to come back and start soul winning. It's our turn to care, to love, and spread the message to as many souls as we can. To start sowing indiscriminately. That's our job. So we don't pick and choose. We scatter the seed to as many people. And because you just never know who's going to want to listen. Sometimes I've had times where people, you know, I try not to prejudge people, but this one guy came to the door and he was full of metal. And I'm not saying he had a metal jacket. Full of metal because he turned himself into a pincushion. And it was sad because, I mean, it was just all over. It was really bad. But this guy wanted to study the Bible. I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay. I started to, but unfortunately, I don't think his girlfriend wanted to. So I think she put a stop to it because he ended up and didn't want to keep studying. But the whole point is you just don't know who's going to want to try to start to say the Bible. I wish he would have, you know, come the whole way. But that's our job, to sow indiscriminately, not worrying about other things. We can worry about a lot of things when it comes to sowing seed. You know, we can worry about whether they'll listen, or we can even be worrying about how awful of a job we're doing, thinking, man, I must be really doing something wrong because I should have better results. I should be converting 50 people a day. and I'm not, so, you know, this is really discouraging. Or I should be, you know, even whatever, we can set a goal, and it's great to set a goal, but don't get discouraged when maybe your goal of whatever it is, of how many conversion you're hoping to reach in a year, or studies or whatever, you don't reach it. Don't say, well, time to quit. Time to give it up. We need everybody out there talking to people. And I'm not saying everybody necessarily is going to be able to do as much as many areas and so forth. You might not be capable of being able to do a Bible study, but try. Put yourself into it. Pray about it. Pray for those working. Encourage those workers that are really gung-ho. Don't be sitting back and saying, yeah, you'll be like one of us in a few more years, brother. Yeah, you're exuberant right now, but give you a few years and you'll be a deadhead like the rest of us. Don't be doing that. If there's a new Christian, they're excited, go with them. Instead of sitting back and thinking, what do you mean, going out there and talking to people? You're not supposed to do that. Settle down, you know? Get back to being more like us. But no, we need to be more like that. We need to be more enthusiastic and saying, who wants to go with me? And if nobody does, okay, I'm going by myself. You know, maybe somebody will eventually decide, okay, I want to go too. And sometimes people do. And if everyone here this morning would decide, I'm going to go talk to at least one person, that'd be quite a few people talk to. And there might be one more person that was talked to than last, however long we want to set it, the schedule, a week or a year or whatever. But I think we should probably set it more than just one person a year. That sounds kind of not very much. So, but if you've never talked to anybody in your life, it's time to do it. Time to maybe go pound on the preacher's door and say, hey, I want to go with you, Colin, let's go. At least I'll be helping you. I'm really scared about getting that door slammed in my face or whatever scares you. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can scare a person from wanting to go do that. And the devil's going to try to make it, too. There's a guy at the church in Albany, he used to always say, like, we'd always start off, and there'd be a few bad calls, and be like, the devil's trying to get us to stop. That's what he'd always say that. And he always think that that's how it was whenever we first started, if we'd had a little break. The devil's trying to get us to get discouraged and not go. But you know what? We've got to not be discouraged. We've got to keep going. And let's go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians 3, 5. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, it says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Notice that God used people to do the planting and watering. Sometimes people really look at this and focus, and it's okay to, that God provides increase. That's important to know that. That it's not your wonderful speeches that you can give to people. God's the one who's going to work. If you are planting the seed, if you're trying to teach them the truth. I mean, if you're deviating from the truth and you're just coming up with your own concoction, then it's all on your own. But if you are sticking with the truth and planting the seed of the Word of God in people's hearts, God will provide the increase. But not he doesn't force anybody to become a Christian. So, but keep in mind, none of us are elevated to a position of worship or greatness. Only God is for that. But God causes the increase when people planted and people watered the seed. We all have a job to do. Let's get busy and do our job, because God will do his. He'll cause it to grow if there is an opportunity. But if we don't do anything, how can he? And so we need to do our job. It's our job. We're the church now. The early church isn't coming back. It's our turn You say, it's our turn in the arena. It's our turn to run the race. It's our turn to spread the word. And we need to do as good a job as we can and push ourselves. We can always do better. And there could be somebody that you talked to five times, but maybe it's been a while since you mentioned it to them. Maybe it's time to mention it to them again. See, as we wait on the Lord, we keep on working on people and trying to help them. And so we need to keep on spreading the good news to as many as we can because of the value of the soul. Why do we sow and reap and sow? Because of covering over a multitude of sins. Let's look at James chapter 5 and 19. James 5 and verse number 19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death, cover over a multitude of sins. You think about that. When people, even if it's a Christian that's strayed and they come back, their sins are being covered, and the potential that would continue on with a sinner in their sin, that person, when they're saved and they repent and they give that sin up, they're covering over a multitude of sins that they would keep reaping. And I kind of mentioned it, but people, we've got to realize they are hurting in sin. And so we need to keep teaching people to repent. We've got to keep teaching them to repent because that's how they're going to turn from it. We can't compromise with sin, even if we want to help people out of sin. To join sinners in the error of their ways does not help them or us. In fact, we are devaluing their soul. We've got to value their soul enough to teach them to repent of their sins. And God will forgive them and they can turn from it and quit living that way. So keep in mind that God teaches people to repent. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 there, it really brings that out about the wicked and things. We're not going to be able to go to it. We also will help them save people from death and the covering of their sin. Jude 23 is good on that, about snatching others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. But it also helps people out of their misery. Just remember the misery we are in. And some of us maybe weren't as miserable because we weren't as far gone in sin. But people get more and more miserable the longer they live in sin. And so we've got to remember that. And then ultimately, it's going to bring joy, peace, joy, and eternal happiness when we reap and sow. And for not only us, but for them. Psalms 126 and verse 6 says, he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. So remember that. We're bringing good tidings to people, peace to the sinner, joy, and eternal happiness for them and for us if we continue to stay faithful too. And not that if we want a soul, then we would be able to quit being faithful ourselves. But no, we got to keep being faithful, clear to the end, no matter what we do for the Lord. And keep doing things for the Lord. And keep on talking to people and trying to win their souls to Christ. So thanks for your good attention.